Hospital's Outpatient Center.
Every dent's a villain, but Sheridan's got a hero. Vulcan Collision Center. From bent frames to scratched paint, they'll bring your car back to life. Vulcan is Sheridan's own hero of the road. The villains are parking lot dings, deer on the highway, hailstorms. Our hero, ta-da! Vulcan Collision Center. Taking down dents, one battle at a time. In Sheridan, you'll find them in the Hollyseed building under that huge chimney.
Bricks and mortar, sticks and stone, a house is a house until you make it a home. Sandbox, hopscotch, yardstick on the wall, backyard soccer goal, laughter down the hall. This is Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty. Don't settle for the first house that works. Let's find the one that's home. I'll put my years of experience and extensive knowledge of the local market to work for you. Buy or sell with confidence. Call me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964. And we'll start your home journey today.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Hungry at lunchtime? Then come to Lunch Together every weekday from 12 to 12:45. Enjoy a home-cooked meal, absolutely free. Just neighbors, good food, and a warm welcome. Whether you're short on funds, short on groceries, or just for a meal with friends, Lunch Together is for you. Join us at the First Congregational Church, 100 West Work. It's right across from the old First Interstate drive-thru.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program. Brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Tuesday, November 4th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we are joined by Sheridan College Professor of Dance, Stephanie Koltiska. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
How's the semester going?
It's been amazing. I have an incredible group of students. Every year, I feel like I say the same thing, but I just am truly blessed with an incredible group. We've been just trudging along. Preparing for shows, doing all kinds of stuff.
As an instructor, when you get in there, how much do you really feed off of that motivation from those kids?
A lot. Yeah. A lot. I feel like, you know, when you have those moments where you are the only source of energy, it's really hard. But when you have that group that wants to be there and they're driven, they want that information, it ups the ante so much. For me as a professor, I want to give them everything that I have to offer because they want it. They want to be there.
You know, we always, and I think everybody out there listening can identify with this, that first day of school, that maybe the first week, everyone's kind of shy, but you're a dance professor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do you get the shyness for the first week and you kind of try to iron that out a little bit?
For sure. So I think there's always been a joke about a lot of dancers tend to be rather quiet because we express ourselves through movement, not necessarily through speaking. And so a lot of dancers are very shy. But I have noticed over the years, almost everybody coming to my class, dancer, theater student, community member, they're all just so welcoming and kind. And so I try to cultivate that atmosphere in my classroom. It's really important to me that it feels like a safe space to learn and explore and maybe do something that's a little bit uncomfortable at times. So yeah, it's really important for me to have that feeling in my classroom.
I mean, I'm not a dancer, but I could only imagine going into a room full of individuals who are, and I would just be a nervous wreck because I wouldn't want to jump up there and just kind of start moving around without knowing what I'm doing yet.
Right.
And so I could see where that shyness absolutely comes from. Now, what you personally, and I know we've talked about this in the past, but it has been a while since we touched on it. What drew you personally to dance as a form of expression?
You know, it's interesting for me because I feel like I was one of those few people that knew from a very early age that I wanted to be a dancer. And I guess I don't know if every young artist feels that way, but I was probably six. I knew that this was something that I wanted to do for a career, if that was even a choice. I was also a very shy kid, very quiet, but the one place I've always felt like I was myself was when I was performing on stage. That's when I felt most alive, the most true to myself. And I think I've always been drawn to that, because maybe I've been it's hard for me to speak up at times or say things, but when I'm dancing, it's a different story. I feel like I'm a different person.
Yeah. At what point did you decide, okay, I'm going to go teach and get off the road? Was it, I want to start a family. I want to kind of calm down.
A little bit of both. After I was living in New York, I had gotten a job a little bit closer to home in Denver with Colorado Ballet. And I knew that was sort of a transitional period for me, that I still wanted to perform, but I had received my master's in dance performance and education. And I was teaching more and more. And so I think in my heart, I knew that eventually when I wanted to stop performing quite as much, that I would be moving home and wanted to provide that higher education here in dance. I think I sort of knew after 15, 17 years of performing professionally that eventually teaching was going to become my next thing. And turns out I was just as passionate about teaching as I was performing. So I'm grateful for that. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. When did it really hit you? Was it like within the first year, you're like, yes, I love this, but I want to do it?
Right. So during my master's program in New York City, they actually require all grad students to teach an undergraduate beginning level dance class. And it was the most fun I had ever had teaching. So I'd love teaching kids as well, but I really found my sort of age group that I was really passionate about. And it was people who had never danced before, but were a little bit older and really wanted to be there, whether it was they couldn't do it as a child or they were, had, you know, whatever it was that kept them from doing it, that college age or even community member, older adults. That was a fun group to have. I mean, they just were willing to be there and try anything. And so, yeah, I think it was New York that kind of sparked that excitement.
There's a moment I ask a lot of teachers about, and that's when they see that light in the eyes of their students, and all of a sudden they're like, oh my goodness, they get it. And it just warms them up. With you, you do have an older group of people. The expression of dance and the choreography of all of it, as you said, some people try to kind of hide that, that even hide the desire to do that. Are there moments that you can look back on where you suddenly, it like watching a flower bloom, all of a sudden this person gets on stage, they haven't been able to express themselves in the way that they want to, and then they can.
Yeah.
And there's the light. I mean, are there moments like that a lot?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I feel like, you know, I have... And those moments come from different students. Sometimes they are the ones that are headed towards that professional career in dance. Sometimes it's theater students who have never danced before. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there they are. I'm seeing something that's different in them. And other times it has been my older community group that I'm like, wow, you're finding something that's really important to you. And I'm so happy to be a part of it, witness it.
Oh, that's got to be just great. When you teach or choreograph, do you help students translate? How do you help students learn to translate movement or emotion into movement? I know I kind of convoluted that question, but I think you get what I'm asking.
Yeah. So like emotion.
Yeah. Because I might have this knot tied up in my chest and it may confine me,
right?
I guess. But dance is not about confinement. So, I mean, it's open.
Yeah. So I have this firm belief that we hold past tensions and things that maybe have happened to us in the body. And so I think for me, it's just having a space for students to start to explore movement and maybe those past things that they've dealt with or that they're still holding on to, they're given a way to express that and move past it and move through it. We talk about emotion in dance, but a lot of times it starts with the physical. So just letting their mind quiet, finding a space for them to be free enough to move. And then it's later that sometimes those emotions start to come up. It's different when we talk about performance, right? Sometimes we're talking about emotion and they need to emote a certain thing in a show. But in the classroom, I have had moments where students are processing something that's very personal to them. And I think it's a safe place for them to do that.
Yeah. Like, cutting open a rubber band ball and you just watch it all just go everywhere all at once in a good way.
Absolutely. Letting yourself process things through physical movement is very different and super healthy.
Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people know that. It's often described as a universal language. Now, you think that's true? And if so, why?
1,000%. I think that, you know, dance is something, movement. You look at a person in a room, you can tell maybe what they're feeling just by their stance, right? It's that slumped over, sad looking face, shoulders hunched forward.
You can
There's
see
an emotion.
The weight.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There's emotion behind that. And so to me, that alone can be dance. How someone's walking down the street, you can tell, are they in a great mood? They just had something amazing happen to them. There's a lightness, right? And so to me, dance is universal. It's a language that we all can see if you're willing to sort of open your eyes and notice.
Yeah.
But absolutely.
Especially, you know, with when it comes to you, you basically dedicated your life to the movement of the human body.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to see those individuals on the street, it's almost as if I'm out there and someone's yelling.
Yeah.
Or screaming for joy,
mm-hmm.
or whimpering, you
yep.
know, with sorrow. When it comes to precision
mm-hmm.
and contemporary, how important is precision within contemporary dance compared to interpretation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I have had the choreography discussion before where it's, if you've got a choreographer or director, I want you to move this way because this is the idea that I'm trying to, mm-hmm. you know, show to the audience. There's a lot of interpretation mm-hmm. within dance, though.
Yeah.
Where's the line?
So I think I would have to say that that line comes from the choreographer themselves. So there's a lot of people, myself included, who I, like we said earlier, feed off the dancers. And so there are times when I really want them to add whatever they're feeling, whatever they're experiencing within the movement to make it their own. But I would also say there's the opposite side of that, even in contemporary movement where choreographers have a very clear idea of what they want to see and how they want it seen, produced on stage. And so I think it's a more of a individual thing, depending on the work, depending on the choreographer, because I feel like I've seen both.
Yeah.
I'm definitely someone who is more interested in the interpretation side of what I have to offer. Of course, there's been times when you're like, that's not really what I'm going for here. But I think that's what makes the performance more real, right? Is if they're adding something that's true to themselves and not just my story, but they've got to be committed to their own story within it. So I think that makes the work more rich when they're allowed to interpret what they think this piece is about.
And it's kind of the idea, jazz and orchestra, interpretive dance and ballet.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I think ballet,
yeah.
I think precision.
Right, absolutely.
And I would imagine that's exactly how it is. You know, you do this at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
You do this at that moment. The movements are all there on paper.
Yeah.
And they've got to be met.
Right.
Like a razor.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with interpretation.
Right. I feel like the movements themselves still have to be precise, right? Because we're still trying to show the movement in a way that makes sense to an audience's eye. So if everyone's all over the place, it's hard to read what's happening. So I think that the precision in the movement still has to be the same. It's the maybe emotion behind it or something that someone does. You're like, oh, wow. What if we all added something like that? And that's what makes it a little bit more personal. But the movements themselves, unless it's a clear moment where you want it improvised, I think there still is that it has to stay within the realms of what the original choreography was given.
There's guidelines.
Yeah.
This is your firing lane. Don't go out of it.
Right.
Now, when you watch a performance, what moves or moments make you feel most connected with the dancers on stage?
I think it's when I can relate somehow. When I'm watching something and the person performing it has so much emotion behind what they're doing and there's something about it that I can somehow self and feel, oh, I have a story that's similar to what they're trying to say right now. So I think it's the dancer being committed to what they're doing and me somehow feeling connected to that, even if it's not the same story they're telling. It's a story that I'm getting out of their emotion, out of their body.
Outside of going to, like, you know, my daughter's dance performances,
mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen a whole lot until I moved up into this area. I attended a dance performance. It was a while ago. You were there.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw a certain movement, it was almost as if I felt exactly what that person was trying to connect. That was the first time.
Yeah.
And that's where I realized, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That, so you're talking about David Dorfman's dance, and I actually worked with him when I was in college, and I felt the exact same thing watching that performance. It was unreal. I was just re-inspired all over again watching that. It was incredible to see.
Oh, it's great. You've got another great performance coming up, and that's with SALT, Contemporary Dance. What about them stood out to you?
Well, a couple of things. So SALT is an incredible company that is close to us, right? Salt Lake area. But they are a company that brings in choreographers from around the globe. So they have work that they're bringing to the Salt Lake area and touring with that is voices of people from all over. And I think their format for how they produce shows and bring in choreographers is just a really exciting way for us to see different work that maybe we wouldn't necessarily see from just one company, right? So they're more of a, what would you call it? A company that brings in guest artists on a regular basis. So they're constantly rotating work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's new choreographers every season. It's just really exciting to have something like that. It's more of a repertory company where people come in and create work specifically on that company. And then they hire them for that job and that's it. That's it, their season.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit more about SALT. And we have more with our professor of dance, Stephanie Koltiska, right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Community Cupboard.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Join the Wild Theater for the National Theater live performance of Tennessee Williams' classic, A Streetcar Named Desire, Thursday, November 13th at 6 p.m. Blanche DuBois moves to New Orleans to live with her sister Stella, creating clashes between Blanche and Stella's husband Stanley, which pushes her into insanity. See the twists and turns for yourself. Tickets are available now at the Wild Theater box office or online at wildtheater.com. A Streetcar Named Desire, Thursday, November 13th.
Help celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States by designing a flag for your Sheridan County community. Sage Community Arts invites designs from each of the 14 cities and towns in the county. One design will be chosen from each to begin flying the first week of January. To enter, scan the QR code in this week's Country Bounty for a link with format information and to submit your design. This contest sponsored in part by Sage Community Arts and Sheridan Media.
Sheridan Memorial Hospital is exploring a new partnership with Billings Clinic. Join CEO Mike McCafferty this Friday, November 7th from noon to 1 p.m. at the hospital's Outpatient Center. Bring your lunch and be part of the conversation about the future of healthcare in our community. Sheridan Memorial's mission has been to serve our friends and neighbors with excellent patient-centered care. And this potential partnership is about continuing that commitment. See you this Friday, noon to 1 p.m. at Sheridan Memorial Hospital's Outpatient Center.
Join Sheridan Media and the band Stereo Pilot for an evening of fantastic music and fun. Saturday, November 8th at the Warehouse Gastropub. This celebration of community spirit is a fundraiser for the Christmas Wish Program, helping to make Christmas a little merrier for local families. Help make the holidays a little brighter by attending and donating at the Christmas Wish Benefit Concert with Stereo Pilot, Saturday, November 8th, 8 to 10 p.m. at the Warehouse Gastropub. Sound by Har Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan College Professor of Dance, Stephanie Koltiska. Now, before the break, we were talking about the contemporary dance company, SALT. Stephanie, what can audiences expect from SALT's upcoming performance on November 7th? And this is going to be happening in Kinnison Hall?
Correct, yes. They can expect a really cutting-edge contemporary movement that night. I'm so excited to have them here and that we get to share this with the community. So I really hope people come out and check out the show.
When you talk about cutting edge, the Salt Lake City Tribune, well, they were described, maybe not by the Tribune, that's a different one, persuasive, pushing the edge. What's cutting edge about a dance performance?
Right. I think it's the fact that, again, going back to the idea of them bringing in choreographers from around the globe, right? So you have this diverse group of choreographers that all have different viewpoints, right? And different things that they're trying to show and share through their choreography. So I think the cutting edge side of it is the fact that there is so many voices that are being heard and represented with this particular group of artists. And I just, cutting edge is really a great way to describe it. There's lots of spoken word text that you'll hear over top of the music. It's really great. It's neat. It's a fun show.
Do they bring in a lot of individuals from overseas? Because for me, one of my favorite things to do is to watch a dance performance from other cultures. Mm-hmm. Because, well, you know how diverse they can be. They can be almost like a jutting movement that is precise. It may look crazy, but it's absolutely precise and practiced for hundreds of years in some cases. Mm-hmm. I mean, will we see things like that as well?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what pieces they're bringing to Sheridan, so I couldn't tell you exactly which pieces were from overseas. Their choreographers are from around the globe, though. So I know that there's at least one piece that's coming that is not from a choreographer that's based in the States. So I think we're going to see a little bit of everything. And I can't wait to see it.
I love that.
Yeah.
South American dancers, Brazil performers, they move in a way that it just blows your mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
You sit there and you wonder, how the heck can somebody do that?
Yeah.
Now, when you get these fantastic performances in, how does hosting a company like SALT benefit Sheridan College's students from what you've seen? I mean, are they full of vigor the next day? Are they ready to get to work?
Yeah. So absolutely. I think just being around and seeing other work is so important. We also typically do master classes with any company that's coming in. So that's something that's always been really important to me when being a part of this program at Sheridan College, is that I wasn't their only voice. So anytime choreographers, companies, artists come through, we try really hard to get master classes for our students. So my group of students will be participating in a master class with SALT. So it's, it's been something that I've always tried to work for when we have guest artists coming through.
I think that is such a great thing that Sheridan College does. Whatever Absolutely. Performers come in to perform, I'm going to teach your students a little bit. There's so much real world lessons that come from these things. Mm-hmm. When you sit back and kind of watch these students learn from these performers, I mean, this is what they want to do.
Yeah.
We talked about the light in the eyes. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of that, I imagine.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of students, what can you tell us about the upcoming student-produced performance on November 12th? Your students did this.
Yes, I am so excited for them. So I don't always attempt a student-produced show. I have to have a group that's really driven and wants to dance composition and take off of either setting work on themselves or other dancers. And I had the group like bring it on, and they brought it. I am so excited for them to share work. It's a really vulnerable thing to have to do the first time you share some of your work. It's a scary situation, but I am so excited they came up with, and I'm excited to get to share that with everyone. It's going to be more of an informal night. We're going to actually do some improvisation live and build a piece of on the moment, just to sort of give the audience an idea of how we sort of start the dance composition component in Maya. And then the students will show and share a little bit about their process and their work. We're going to do a talk back at the end in case anybody wants to ask questions to my amazing group of students, how they came up with the piece they came up with and what the process was like.
And I would imagine, why add this here? Why add that there? Kind of questions?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And I think that I'm hoping anyway that the showing at the beginning through improvisation and composition will really kind of open to those kind of comments like, oh, I understand there is an actual formula, if you will, to creating a dance. And there are some guidelines that I like to introduce. Of course, we can vary, you know, off of that after you know those rules. But I'm hoping that showing that in real time might help open those questions up to the students.
Now, on the professional side, when you have a group of students who take this initiative, mm-hmm. You know, they're motivated, they're driven. Do you see a little bit, and I don't know how else to put this, but a little bit more knowledge and experience come out of that experience themselves, where they can go somewhere and say, look, I actually choreographed this mm-hmm. myself,
yep.
or me and fellow students did this completely, and we put on this performance.
Yeah, I mean, it's an extra thing on resume, right? But I also think that the experience of doing that can help them feel more confident than when they step into a situation where maybe they are running rehearsal, maybe they are asked to create something for a performance. I think starting out and having it this low pressure environment where you can mess up,
yeah.
you can something that is not necessarily as successful as you'd hoped it would be, but it's not going to follow you around, right? Our chance to try something and to see what came out of it and then grow from it. And I think this group for sure will hatch more than that, but they'll be walking away with that experience.
And what a great time to fail.
Yeah.
Yep. And I know that may sound strange to some people, but for
absolutely.
Me, that's what a great time.
Yeah.
We learn from every single mm-hmm. of these. Somebody told me once, we fail forward around mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
And that has stuck with me my whole life. You learn more from your failures than you do from your successes.
Yeah, I love that.
But I think they're absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure they
will be. Yeah, they will be. They will be. I know that there's a few of them that are nervous to share their work, but man, I couldn't be more proud of them.
Yeah.
Even if the process was very small and what they're showing is a work in progress that really didn't get much more than 45 seconds. It's still them sharing, worked hard on and thought a lot about. And we have pieces that are completely done, you know, up to 5 minutes. So we're kind of all over the place. And yeah, they've worked really hard on it and it's going to be great.
All right. When can I see both of these performances, my friend?
All right. So SALT is happening this Friday, 7 p.m., November 7th at Whitney Center for the Arts, Kennison Hall. And then the student produced show will be happening on Tuesday, November 11th, also at 7 p.m., same spot.
Do I need tickets?
So SALT, you do need tickets for that, and you can get those tickets at the Whitney Center for the Arts box office. And for the November 11th show, you can just show up.
All right. Stephanie, yeah. thank you so much
Thanks
for coming
for having me.
It is always an absolute pleasure to be able to talk to an artist about what they do and the process.
Well, thank
I greatly
you. It
appreciate
means a lot.
You.
Thank yeah.
you. All right. When we come back, we're going to speak with Sage Community Arts. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Community Cupboard.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank.
Chef Foster with Country Pet Inn and All Around Canine Training. A part of your job, bridge the gap between humans and dogs.
I have this like obsession with trying to interpret why a dog's doing what it's doing. Even though they do possess so many similar emotions that we do, they also have them for different reasons. Some of the behaviors that dogs exhibit may look like they're doing something based on what we would do, but it's the opposite. Sometimes you just say, here, look what just happened right there. That's why she's doing this. And the owner will go, that is crazy.
Yeah.
I wondered why she did that. They look at me like I'm magic. It's not me. It's the dog.
Well, it requires somebody who has that knowledge to kind of like turn that light on.
Yeah, I consider myself the liaison between a dog and human.
Well, and it's one of those vital things where, you know, without that, they'd never get there.
In a lot of ways, you're right. All I'm trying to do is enhance the relationship.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's a pretty cool job to have.
Learn more at countrypetinn.com.
Have you started having those conversations with others or began thinking to yourself what a new home may look like to you? Hi, this is Colton Bates with the Bates Team at Best, and we want to help you bridge the real estate gap between where you are and where you want to be. Even speaking with an agent can oftentimes feel overwhelming because this is generally the number one financial decision in a person's life. We've helped our clients through a wide variety of situations, and you will always have a thoughtful plan that considers your needs and timeline. Choose a real estate team that will take action on your behalf and deliver. Choose the best. Give us a call at 675-BEST and visit bestwi.net today.
The Jack Lopes Explore Podcast.
In one of the off-the-cuff moments that we know and love Floyd for, what did he claim probably didn't exist, but we all pretend it does to seem smart? A, bunch of mechanics.
Oh, wait.
B, Bermuda Triangle. C, smart fridges. D, Australia.
Jack Lopes Explore at SheridanMedia.com.
This is the captain at Captain Clean. Do you have a giant mess you need cleaned up? Did you just build a house or building and can't tackle the amount of unforeseen sheetrock dust? Call our team at Captain Clean and let our experts take over. From post-construction cleanups to sewer backups, there is rarely a mess too big for us to tackle. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726. Affordable choices for healthy living.
We clean more for you. We're Captain Clean.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For a second part this morning, we are joined by the Executive Director of Sage Community Arts, Jill Benson. Good morning, my friend. Welcome back.
Good morning, and I have to report it is just me.
Just you today.
I know. Disappointment to the listeners.
No cute little coos going on around here.
No, she's actively working at her little Montessori this morning and was already cooing away there and just jumped into it. Today, though, we actually had a little bit of, not fully upsetness, but I got extra cuddles before I left.
Oh.
Usually it's just this real quick, bye,
yes,
and it takes up like, oh, okay, mom's having the separation problem, but now it's great. So
that's not to get too far off in the toolies, but I'll never forget that dropping Katie off, my daughter, at daycare at one point. There was the day when the I want you to stay grip disappeared.
Oh.
And she had a friend, and now she's running over to play with her friend. And I'm like, I didn't even get a goodbye hug. I'll never forget that day because I was like, she's on her own now. This is it.
We're fine. We're all fine.
The growing pains are already happening. All right. Last time you and I were together, we discussed the upcoming black and white photography show, The Call for Art. This is one thing that I do want to put out there, folks, before we get on to the next part. November 26th.
Yes.
That's the end. That's our deadline.
That's the deadline.
Now, the 11th annual photography show will be held at Sage Community Arts beginning Tuesday, January 20th. And we'll run through March 7th. But today we're discussing the upcoming member pop-up show. These things are great. For those who may not know what this is, could you describe this for us, Jill?
Yes. So the member pop-up show has become this end-of-year celebration of our members. And it's just turned into the coolest way for us to celebrate the end of our exhibitions, but then also celebrate our members. It was when I started in 21, there was kind of this open space that said local curated show ? I'm like, okay, I have a year to figure out what that is. So my committee at that time were like, well, the members always want more space to show. What if we just do an all member show? And I was like, how do we curate that? And then we said, well, we got double the space. Let's not really curate. Let's throw out all the rules to an extent. And so for that show, we said you can bring up to 3 pieces versus the 2. You can bring one piece that's up to 60 inches wide. Again, it always, those numbers sound so fun to say. And then when you see them, you're like, oh, that's what that means.
Yeah.
So, and that year, both galleries were so full and the members were so excited to be able to bring bigger work. A lot of work we didn't know that particular artist did in that size.
Because they'd never been able to show.
No. And so it was so exciting to see how they could expand. And we it was the most amazing game of Tetris I have ever played. So, like, okay, we have so many 5 foot wide pieces. I don't know where this is going to go, but it came together at an amazing team. And it was just such a fun response from the both our members, but then also the community to see how full we are here with artists and yeah. what they're able to do. And the diversity of the art that came in was just wild. We'd have some sections that were more holiday themed, but then we said, this happens to be over the holiday season, but it doesn't have to, there's no theme that we put on it. It's just, there's people shopping for stocking stuffers or for that special Christmas gift. This is where you should shop. And it's just kind of taken off on a life of its own since then. And this year, it is our 5th year of doing it. And it's changed a little bit, different themes or partners that we've kind of had through the years. And this one, you know, I love to hit kind of those 5, 10, 15, kind of those big years. And being the 5th year, we really want to show it as a appreciation, a recognition, a love for our members, for those who can join. And you can join when you come to drop off the work, or you can be a member who's been with us for many years. And we want to see all the work, anything you have. Again, it's 2 small pieces, 1 large, 3 small pieces. And then the pedestal pieces, 3D, they have a little different life of their own because we can stuff a lot more pedestals in than some of our wall space. But the other really exciting thing, what we're going to do is another thing that we tried to do with this member show is to remind the community and our members, yes, we have an exhibition side and it's just structured different, but every single one of our members has the ability to have a show in the exhibition side. There's only physically a wall, but there's not actually a barrier for you to show there. The only barrier would be that there's a timeline thing that it's a 6-week show. You have to apply, but more just so we can schedule out of like, okay, we have all watercolors or stagger it out just a little bit different. But that's all you have to do. There's no fee. You just have to get it to me, apply. The selection committee just helps me figure out the best schedule for that. And then, but being able to have them in the exhibition side shows that you are equal to the emerging artist, you're equal mm-hmm. to the world-renowned artist that is showing there right now. And so the opening reception will be December 11th, and it's the artist reception. It is, we're going to spice it up a little bit more, have some extra nummies, and we're going to expand and have the one and only Dave Munzik will be performing
oh, wow.
with us in the gallery.
That's fantastic.
To celebrate our artists.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
And the artists will be there.
Yes.
So you'll be able to kind of walk around, have mm-hmm. conversations with these individuals. And folks, longtime listeners, you know, being able to talk to an artist and about their process and where did you get this and what inspired that, it adds so much meaning for me to mm-hmm. the piece. And yes. I do understand, you know, there are some people who say, look, I'm glad that you went ahead and made this, but now you've put it in the public. You've made it mine.
Yeah.
It's not yours anymore. I understand your interpretation of the work,
mm-hmm.
but let me tell you my interpretation of your work. Some artists love that stuff.
Yeah, it's so brilliant to see that. I feel like the conversations that you will have with the member artist, your community members, a significant portion of our member artists are not full-time artists. They're doing this in conjunction with a full-time job yeah. or another entity, and then to learn what else they're doing while creating this beautiful work, while putting their story into it, and then how you learning their other story, their other background, how you then, just as you said, begin to interpret it different, knowing their story that you've heard and you're putting onto it, I think is just this beautiful, deeper connection that you're going to have with someone that you see at the coffee shop all the time, but then you realize the photography you take or the ceramics that you mold with your own hands is just otherworldly, and that you get to become more intimately connected with someone that you had no idea. And maybe nothing else in your lives will connect.
Yeah.
But that one thread is a beautiful connection, and that's fine. You don't have to connect on every single fiber of your being. but you can connect with this part. You can see each other for who you are through that connection of the art. And then you can leave it at that. And you can part ways and be happy about that piece you got to share together.
And you never know what you're going to find, because a lot of people may not understand what a pleasure it would be to be able to sit there and have your coffee. And while you're waiting for it, you can, you know, maybe you're with someone. You're like, there goes my favorite artist.
Yeah.
They live right here in Sheridan. And I wouldn't have known this individual's work had I not gone to this. And yeah, we don't agree on anything else. But man, he, she, they make some beautiful work. And
yes,
they're amazing. And I think that's absolutely great to be able to go into a community artist gallery and just look around and suddenly discover who's here.
Yeah. And it's always a discovery even for us who, you know, we're there daily. And then the way the different lights hit, or just other community members coming in, patrons seeing there, when they, again, start to talk about the art. And we're always, we do the best we can to take the stories from our artists and be able to share it back out to patrons that come in. And when, so we have a secondhand story that we're selling. The patron is looking at this, taking their new interpretation. We start to see it different. You know, we have handled the work, loved it, and put it on the walls, or moved it around, or gently cussed it for not being quite the right shape in that spot that I needed you to go. And then to get to re-see it in a new light with the community members, and then being able to once again reshare that story back to the artists when they come in. So that's the other wonderful part, is when we have the shows up for our members and they come back in and they see their work. They see it up on the wall. They know that they've taken that next huge step to complete it and put it out in the public. Just as you said, not only are you showing it to the world is taking ownership of it and seeing it different from you, you know, bringing it into their fold. And you're like, that's huge for an artist to do. And that we can try to be this safe space, this educational space for the artist to talk about, here, this is how we can help you get it out there, take that big leap. But then also to educate the community of how to start to see art, learn about it, what they're interpreting, but then also to have respect for the art that's been put out there. Yes, you're seeing people like Theodore Waddell, who's a tough, brilliant man that he... You can say whatever, and he's like, sure, that's your interpretation. I don't care. This is how I did it, and that's
water
mine.
Off a duck's back,
exactly,
right?
Has no. Yeah. But then you have people who are emerging artists or coming back into the community and putting their artwork out there, and they can be fragile, because it is. That's honestly a big part of why I curate the art. I don't make the art.
Yeah.
It's a very intimidating experience, but through our community shows, we've been able to see so many people gain this confidence to put it back out there. And one story, it is personal to me. My sister, actually, who is a environmental engineer, brilliant in her field. We are similar in our love of animals and anime, but you stick us together, we could make the spectrum. I'm on one end, she's on the other. We're just vastly different in looks, styles, all that. But we did the camera phone photo show last year, and she submitted some work as she got into the show.
Oh, wow.
And again, reminder, I had nothing to do with it other than to bug the heck out of her to submit stuff. And it was all the juror, all blind. She got in, and to see her transformation to think like, oh, I have this other talent that I didn't think about. You know, she's, you know, making different test specimens and all the chemistry she does. And she's like, oh, but I can also see the world in a different way. And someone, she's like, I knew I liked it, but someone else saw it deeper. She even sold a piece, which she was like, did they meant mine? Like, yes, they knew what they were buying. And since then, she's been taking so many more photos and trying to, especially with some of the big jobs that come through, to have that space to completely step away from her full-time job, to be able to just let the mind relax, the mind think of something else. And some of the photography she's been coming up with is just awesome. And so she's going to try to submit to the show again, but just that it's been so fun to, you know, my own sister, who we're very close. We have a great relationship, but I'm even closer to her in this new way that I got to connect, to see her finding this new hobby, passion that's coming out, I think is just so fantastic. And the it's really fun to get to talk to her about submitting the work. She's like, I'm going to be your most high maintenance artist. I have all these questions. Please help me. I'm like, we got you. And to that point, we actually have some help days at Sage. The next couple Tuesdays throughout November until the due date, the deadline, from 11 to 2, you can come down to Sage and we will have Rachel and I will help you submit your work to CAFE in case there's any, I mean, we're not tech savants by any means, but we can navigate how to down your photos, what CAFE is asking for so you can get it on there. And then we do also have the platform set up that if you want to pay with credit card directly to us or check, cash, you know, we can do, even though it is all online, we can still help with that in-person real real person helping.
That's fantastic.
You. And so,
because that might be a roadblock.
That can be a roadblock. Yeah. You know, whatever you're looking at, if it's on the phone, how to get it to the computer or how to, you know, or if you're the big cameras, just the different changeover, we're here to help you so that it's not a roadblock. We want you to be able to share your image through the lens. We want to see that. And so that's what we're going to, we'll be there for you. And again, no cost for us to help you. There's a little cost for submission fees, but that all rolls into prize money for those.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's paid back to the artists.
All right, let's go over some dates real quick.
Okie dokie.
The call for art for the members pop-up show.
That will be November 20th to 22nd. And then that following week, Sage will be, which is the week of Thanksgiving, we will be closed most of the week to the public. A little fluctuation in case life happens. Give me a call. We'll see what we can do. We do shut down for a few days just because we are taking over both galleries. There's artwork everywhere.
Yeah.
But the show officially opens for everyone to see. The first look will be, I believe it's Friday the 28th, Christmas Stroll Day.
Oh, fantastic. So, what a great time to debut it all.
Oh, it's so much fun. We see so many people come in, and we will be open from noon till 8 that day. So, you know, the buzz of Christmas Stroll Night can be a lot. And we do have a stroll button. So come in and see your number. We have a few buttons. But that noon to 4 before the street shut down, it is busy, but we'll have a hot chocolate bar going up. But then it's not as wild as some of the nights.
Yeah.
And then, but that night from 5 to 7, we'll have the fabulous Danielle Law singing for us. And just, she just makes those evenings so much fun. She'll take requests or she'll just, she always thinks of the best playlists anyway. And so she is so fun and so engaging. And again, it just adds this next layer of, she's a member, she's a staff, she's a community member, she's a brilliant actress and singer who's there to share her work, her talents with us, immersed with all this other beautiful work and talent that we get to share. To the community.
Mean, talk about setting the environment, my friend.
It's just so much fun. I look forward to it every year. It's a big job, but to see when the artists come in and hand over their work to us, it's just this next layer of trust and belief in us that they know and they feel that we can take care of their work the best we can. And I'm honored that so many times they say this is such a well-hung show. It came together so well. I didn't expect my work to look like this because, you know, the way things are curated, it can make or break a lot of the pieces too.
Yeah.
And so we do the best that we can for our members. And it's such a great show, not only for us to myself to get to learn how to hang, but as my new staff come in, it's a great one to train them on as well, because there's so many walls to hang and try out and pieces to learn and look at and fiddle around with. And
I've got 1 minute okay. left. If I wanted to join Sage Community Arts, how do I do it?
So many ways. artandsheridan.com is our website. You can join through there. You can come in person to join anytime. Memberships start from the day you sign up, and then a year from there, $55 for an individual, $90 for a family or business. You can always call as well, and we can get you signed up. And then it's very easy to sign and do the other paperwork November 20th through 22nd when you come and drop off your work to us.
Fantastic. Jill, thank you so much for coming in this morning. I love talking about the member pop-up show.
Oh, I love it too. It's just one of the best.
Yeah. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
You know what makes a big difference in life?
I know, making smart money choices.
That's why First Federal Bank and Trust partners with local schools and organizations to teach financial basics.
They make it fun and interactive with free materials, bank tours, and real conversations.
And we tailor everything to fit your classroom or group.
I want to get started right now.
You can learn more at efirstfederal.bank. First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
This is the Captain with Captain Clean. Are you noticing unnecessary dust in your home? If so, your ductwork may be telling you it's time for a cleaning. HVAC and furnace cleaning will undoubtedly optimize your furnace's performance and keep your indoor air quality free of unnecessary dust and allergens. If you like clean air and lower energy bills, call our experts at Captain Clean today and schedule your next HVAC cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
Bricks and mortar, sticks and stone, a house is a house until you make it a home. Sandbox, hopscotch, yardstick on the wall, backyard soccer goal, laughter down the hall. This is Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty. Don't settle for the first house that works. Let's find the one that's home. I'll put my years of experience and extensive knowledge of the local market to work for you. Buy or sell with confidence. Call me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964. And we'll start your home journey today.
Mossholder's Design Center is running its final dining room sale of the year. That means you can save on all in-stock dining room furniture and have a brand new look in time for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Mossholder's also has a large in-stock selection of bar stools, so you can add seating for all your guests this holiday season. Even if you can't find your perfect set in-store, Mossholder's is discounting all special orders too, so you can order the style that best fits your home. Shop early for the best in-stock selection and have it in time for the holidays. That's Mossholder's Dining Sale, going on now. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
Doug, I finally found the perfect gift that doesn't come in the wrong size.
Let me guess, detailing gift certificates from Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop?
Yeah, no batteries, no assembly required. Makes their car look brand new.
It's the gift that says I care, and also, your car smells weird.
Buy a gift certificate, wrap it up, and boom, holiday hero.
That's us, Waring Chevrolet, making cars shine brighter than your Christmas tree.
The Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop, open now, 409 Broadway in Sheridan.
Billings to Buffalo. This is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM KROE. KROE.